Stephanie Vaughn and Nancy Chapman in our prayers. I'm sorry to report to you that Jordy had a seizure at church Wednesday night. They think it was a stroke. I've never seen anything like it. I thought he died in my arms. All I could do is call 911 and pray and slap him and try to get him to breathe. And so he was unconscious for 2 days, and God answered our prayers, and we went and saw him yesterday, and he was back and had his mind and apparently didn't have any damage to either his left or right side. And so that's wonderful. Y'all know he's in charge of benevolence here, and anybody generally sees him and come and see me after church. Any parents that are here who don't have anything for little kids, come and see me after church. We don't have much, but we have a few things for little kids. Not big kids, teenagers, but little kids. Come see me. Charlotte, Eddie's wife, Charlotte Johnson, is in the hospital at Methodist Hospital. We need to remember her. We've had several people released from the hospital. Helen is with us today. God spared her, and she is doing well, and thank God that God spared her. And she's even talking about going and visiting Jordy. So that's absolutely wonderful. And Michelle got released from Presbyterian early, and that's really great. We want to remember Fail and hope that he makes his parole and he can get home with his family. And so let's go to the Father in prayer, please. And then right afterwards, we're going to ask Brother Eddie to come up and give his jail report. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy mercy, for Thy great goodness, for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We thank You, Father, for this church, for our ability to go forward and preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Thank You, Father, for our radio ministry. Thank You for our internet ministry. Thank You for our feeding ministry. I want to thank You again for all that You do for us, but especially for the gospel and for our salvation. We thank You and praise Your holy name that You intervened in the affairs of men. Sent Your Son at the very right time in history to save our souls. Thank You again, Father, for the gospel, for Your love. Thank You for the ability to assemble today in freedom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We had one other wonderful thing happen today. We generally have a Christmas dinner, and for some of those who had generally helps us with that, didn't come through this year. So you were going to get chili dogs today, but out of nowhere, a woman made shepherd's pie. And we have 8 big pans of shepherd's pie downstairs, and she wouldn't stay and receive any praise for it. And so it's going to be an unusual treat for lunch. And then Greenville Avenue is going to be here with winter clothing. So if you'll let me make the radio announcements, we'll call Eddie up. And as soon as I'm through with that, you jump right on the microphone, Eddie. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd like to welcome Radio North Texas, Radio Abilene, Radio Searcy, Arkansas. We're on 3 stations simulcast out of Searcy, Arkansas. Radio Oklahoma City and all of Central Oklahoma, Radio Nashville, Tennessee that covers Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky, and of course, Worldwide Christian Radio. And Worldwide Christian Radio covers all of Canada, Alaska, the United States, Mexico, Central America, South America, all of Africa, Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia, the Ukraine, and all of the Middle East. There are over 3 billion, not million, but billion people in our radio broadcast area this morning. We'd like to have a report now from our jail minister, Brother Eddie Frazier. If you come and give us a report on your work, Brother Eddie.
Oh, good morning, church. You know, God is so good. I want to tell y'all guys, you know, I appreciate Main Street Church of Christ being my home church, and the title they give me in the bulletin board. I'm not much on titles, but I mean the bulletin. They call me the Texas Prison County Jail Chaplain. Makes me sound really important, you know. But tell the truth, I don't do nothing but try to be obedient to God. You know, God has grown this ministry so much that we almost every year baptize over 1,000 men and women into the body of Christ. And I want to take this time of the year to, like I try to do twice a year, to thank all of those churches that have participated. And I had no effort in any of bringing any of these people to the prison ministry. God just all brought them in, and they all worked with me some way or another. But first of all, of course, Main Street Church of Christ. And Walnut Hill Church of Christ for financial support by Walt Mitchell and Jerry Browner. Also the trust fund that's set up by Cy and Sue Allen that actually handles all the finances for the jail ministry. The Crocker Hill Church of Christ for also finance. They provide the van. They buy us breakfast. They buy us lunch. They buy the gas for the van. And that's headed up by George Sanders and Brother Al Gostin and the late Freddie Johnson, who has passed away. The Mountain View Church of Christ, which also is a Clyde Young, sometimes also provides a van, Brother Sturgio, Brother Chambers, and Brother Hooper, and also Sister Chappelle. And then we got the Satin Road Church of Christ with Liz Compton and Brother Bill Banks, and they also furnish the van and the gas and the food when we go to Gatesville. And then, of course, the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, which is pretty much headed up by James Bradley, I believe he's back there now, and Dorothy Davis, and a host of other men and women, about 14 other men and women that I can't remember all of their names. And, of course, with the jail ministry, which we have for today, Brother Angelo Rodriguez and his son, which will be going to meet today. And from Preston Crest Church of Christ, we have Brother Charles E. Silver and Carl Johnson. From Central Point Church of Christ, we got Reuben Johnson, guy named Cliff, I can't remember his last name, and Tony Martin, who has now moved on to Michigan, but I talked to her last night because I'm going to be taking her position over at Gatesville. And also Roger Price, who is a volunteer chaplain at the Gatesville unit. You know, every time we go into any units, you know, it's always been some hoodlums to jump over, you know, and Roger Price down there at the Gatesville Avenue makes sure, I'm great Gatesville Church of Christ, makes sure that we are all those hills and bumps and everything is taken care of before we get there. So y'all just continue to pray for the ministry, and hopefully that we can be able to continue to get into all the units and do the work of the Lord. Thank you much.
How many of you taught and baptized this year, Brother Eddie? Tell us about
987.
987 so far this
today.
Year. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. At least 13 today. He's going to break 1,000. I know he is. And isn't that wonderful that that's a self-supporting ministry? We'd like to report that our website has had over 101,000 hits this month, last month, and we've downloaded 45,904 sermons just last month alone. So our website, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. I don't know if y'all figured it out yet, but Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. We don't know when he was born. We know that I was born on December 25th. But I don't accept presents unless it's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we're going to skip that, but we're going to give all the glory to God and talk about this morning, this holiday that's came to be known in the world as Christmas. In 274 A.D., 274 years after the Common Era began, and Christ was crucified in roughly 30 A.D., so 247 years after the crucifixion of Christ, Aurelian Caesar in Rome declared December 25th the birthday of the sun god Sola Invictus. And he declared that holiday a feast day throughout the empire. And this was during a time of great persecution of the church when Christians were fed to lions and they were persecuted for being Christians. And so It was a way that the Roman government could identify Christians, because if you didn't take off work that day and celebrate for Sola Invictus, then you must be a Christian, and so they'd arrest you and throw you the lions. So Christians fought that by saying, well, we'll just have a holiday that day too. We'll declare it as being Jesus' birthday, and we'll take the day off too. Now, the word Christ Mass is a Catholic word that was invented many years later. It means Christ and Mass, which was what they call their worship service. And you can see today how the world has commercialized Christian. It's Christmas. It's the biggest sales day of the year and all of that stuff, where they're all hustling you for your money. And if you use Target, they get your credit card numbers and give it out to the mafia in Russia and everywhere else. So that doesn't make you want to go to Target, and I'd encourage you not to go to Radio Shack either. But still, having said all that, there's probably still more good than bad in Christmas, because it gives us an opportunity to tell the world the truth about the birth of Jesus Christ. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As his mother, Mary, was a spouse, that means engaged, to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Yeshua is a Hebrew word, and it means he saves. And he certainly does, doesn't he? And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that word there is hamartema in the Greek. It is the worst of sins, the most vilest of sins. If you're the greatest sinner in the world, you're kind of close to me. God can save you. He is a powerful God. Jesus can save you and justify you from your sins. Now, all this was done, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I just saw the other night on the History Channel an advertisement of a new show that's beginning, and it's called The Mistakes of the Bible. And so they made a big deal out of this verse here, and they said that Matthew made a mistake, or God made a mistake, because he used the wrong word there. That to use the word alma. And so we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. From the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, God has been promising that a child would be born of a woman. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Man and woman are created. God had made a rule: if you sin, you die. And they broke that rule. They eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We have no idea what that was, but they did it. God's kicking them out of the garden. They've broken the rules. They've broken the law. And the law is, if you sin, you die. And so if anything is to be done in the way of reconciliation, God himself must do it. And he graciously promises the Redeemer in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now here we have a key word, seed. I want you to remember this key word. It's a very important word. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And as I've told you before, this is just common metaphors, common figure of speech saying that when the Christ comes, he'll walk all over you, devil. He'll stomp all over you. I'll punch your lights out. You'll come crawling to me. These are just common metaphors, and so this is just being used to explain the work of Christ in triumphing over the devil. We see that key word defined in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 in the New Testament, and that same promise of a seed coming is given throughout the history of the Old Testament. It's given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. It's given to King David. That promise that a child, a seed, one child is coming. So there's going to be a child that comes, and he's going to be the deliverer of mankind. So that key word seed is defined in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, God, saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, thy seed, which is what? Which is Christ. So what does that word seed mean? It means Christ. So what I'm telling you again is that it's not so much that the Jews are God's chosen people as it is that Christ is God's chosen person. It's true that they're God's chosen people, but it was only through them that the Messiah and that the Christ was to be born. Paul, speaking on this subject in Galatians 4:4, said, when the fullness of time was come, at the very right time, at a time in history that was no better time, God could look all through history and he picked the very right time, the perfect time. Roman roads had opened up the entire world. All the borders were open. You know how you go to Mexico and you can't go into Mexico unless you pay the mordida. And you can't get back in the United States unless you sit in a line that's 3 days long. It's just horrible trying to go back and forth between the borders. Same way at Canada. It's hard getting into Canada and getting out and back into the United States. There are big long lines. There was none of that in the Roman Empire. All the borders everywhere were open. Roman roads made transportation available. And the Greek language, everybody spoke Greek as a second language. So the gospel could be communicated to the entire world in the Greek language. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, at the very right time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. A man's not involved in the deal. He was made of a woman, made under the law. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet had said, Isaiah, that Matthew quoted in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Isaiah 7, 14, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And so the word that's used there in the Hebrew is Almal, and Almal means a damsel, a young lady, but it means a virgin too, as I'm about to prove to you. But the non-believing religious world today, the professors at the schools and at the colleges say, oh, well, Matthew made a mistake. Because Almal is translated as virgin in the Septuagint, in the Greek translation of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, then he made a mistake and he translated, he thought that Christ was going to be born of a virgin. And that the word that should have been used was Bethulah. Now, Bethulah means to separate a virgin from her privacy, to deflower the virgin, to have sex. Many women are Bethulah, and on their wedding night, they are deflowered and they become pregnant. But Mary was not Bethulah. Mary remained Almal. She remained a virgin until she delivered Jesus. And so we see, you'd think that these highly educated people would ask themselves, has God ever used that word before? Yes, he has. Well, let's go look at it in Genesis chapter 24, verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, Almah, the same word that Isaiah uses, Almah, neither had any man known her. So what does Almah mean? It means neither had any man known her. Neither had any man known her. We see in Genesis 24, verse 43, the same word Almah used. Behold, as I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, when the Almah cometh forth to draw water. So we see that God has used that word before to describe a virgin, and it describes how Mary was continually a virgin until she delivered the child. Then Isaiah, and just a chapter later, past Isaiah 7:14, in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, for in us a child is born. What kind of child? Well, that child is going to be born of a virgin. That's who it is. For in us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He will rule in the kingdom of God. He will be the ruler, the king in the kingdom of God, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Boy, we sing a song about that, don't we? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Who's this Christ going to be? He's going to be the Mighty God, God himself. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government, of this kingdom of God, and of peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, he's going to be a descendant of King David. He's going to sit upon a throne. He's going to be a king. And we studied last week in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, that Christ was raised from the dead to sit on David's throne. He upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Now back again to Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till, see that word till? Till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus had other brothers and sisters. They're named in the Bible. And so after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph had a regular marriage, just like any couple has a regular marriage. And Jesus was raised in a regular family as a human being. He was altogether God on one hand, and he was altogether human on the other hand. He was both. He was a God-man who understood both, that came to give us an example. You want to know what God's like? Well, he's just like Jesus. You want to be like God, and then be just like, exactly like Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 2 and begin in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now there's been several rules of Cyrenius, and they have found that he was ruler in between 6 BC also and on. And so Cyrenius was governor several times in Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph, now that's Mary's husband, Jesus' stepfather, adopted father. And we saw last week that his blood lineage was through the kings of Israel. through David, through Solomon, and through all of Rehoboam, and through his king, through his descendants, through the kings of Israel, Joseph was. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David. And we saw last week that Christ would be born of Judah, of the tribe of Judah, and David is of the tribe of Judah, which is called Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is 5 to 7 miles south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has grown because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days of her accomplishment, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, houses in those days, what's being said here is the downstairs part of a house was where you kept your animals. You'd keep your sheep, you'd keep your goats down there, if you had a cow, you'd keep it down there. You keep your animals down there, your donkey downstairs in the downstairs part. You lived upstairs on the second floor and on the roof. And so in the summer, you sleep on the roof. During the winter, you sleep in the house. The body heat of the animals going up helped to warm your house along with your fire that you had in your house, your hearth. And so that's the way people lived. So there was no room for them upstairs in the house. They simply stayed downstairs in the downstairs part of the house. And so now we'll begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, about the angels appearing and their herald to the shepherds. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angels said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all the people. Now this word, good tidings, is what we get gospel from eventually. But it is a quote here from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. So Jesus, when he comes, is going to be God, and he's going to reign. He's going to reign as a king. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 11 now. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, which is Messiah, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. That is God's desire. Men have other ideas. All of wars, from whence come wars and fightings among you, James says, come they not from the lusts that lust and war in your members? It's because we're a lustful, warful people, we're a fallen people, that wars come among us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing, fair to middling gospel preaching. There's 1,000 sermons on there and all kinds of written lessons. So be sure and go to that website. That's www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. And so now in verse 21, we have Jesus presented to the Lord in the temple. And when 8 days were accomplished for his circumcision of the child, and that's what the law said, every male child should be circumcised on his 8th day, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The angel had come to Mary and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. It is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And we see from this that Jesus was of the poor people. He was not of the rich. You would offer a lamb or a goat or something, a calf, if you were rich, but poor people got to offer two turtle doves, and if you had to, you could capture them your own self. And so if you were poor and had nothing, you could still worship the Lord. And so we'll begin now in verse 25 and read about the wise men. First, Jesus presented in the temple to Simon and Anna. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all the people, a light to the Gentiles." He's certainly a light to us that's lived in darkness all our life. "A light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." Can't you imagine how terrible that must have been to see your own child crucified by the Romans in front of you? "A sword certainly pierced her own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And he now sits as a high priest and reads the hearts of every man, as we studied last week in our lesson. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of him to whom we have to do, our high priest. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess and daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Now, they married early in those days. So if she married when she was 14 years old, which would be 14 to 16 was the common marriage years. But let's say she married 14 years. She was married 7 years. That would be she was 21 years old. And she was a widow about 84 years. 84 is 80, and 4 years is 84 years. She lived with a man 7 years. She was 14, she got married. That'd be 21 and 84. She was 105 years old. This lady was quite old. And I bet you Helen's in good a shape she is, as she was, aren't you, Helen? Helen's still kicking, it's just not very high. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so we see prophets have give glory to God about the coming of the Messiah. Now let's turn with me now to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, they came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so we want to look what the prophet has to say about this. If you'd look with me to Psalms chapter 72, Psalms chapter 72, we'll begin in verse 10 and 11. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. At some point at the resurrection, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And God can see all of time. And he's going to send kings to bring presents to the birth of his son, but all kings will fall and bow before him someday. Hitler did it. Stalin did it. Every potentate that's ever lived has bowed before him, whether they like it or not. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. Everybody is going to fall before this Christ, before this Messiah that's going to be born. Back now to Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now this star prophecy is began way back in Numbers. And so Israel is coming out of the land of Egypt, being led by Moses. And Moab won't let Israel pass through the land. And so they hire this false prophet, this prophet named Balaam. And that's a theoporic name. And a theoporic name means that he was named after a god. Now, theoporic names doesn't necessarily mean that the guy himself is an idolater. It just means his daddy was. Well, not only was this guy's daddy an idolater, this guy was an idolater. Now, he's on the way to curse Israel. The king of Moab, Balak, has ordered him, hired him. Said, come on, I'm going to give you plenty of that money. I want you to curse Israel. He's on the way. And he's warned by his own donkey speaking back to him. God can do anything. He can make a jackass speak. And I've heard plenty of them. With my own ears, I've heard plenty of jackasses speak. I guarantee you. You can hear them on radio and TV a whole lot. And then he was warned by an angel and it scared him. And he knew that he was dealing with God Himself. And so he gets there to Balak, and he won't do what everything Balak wants. And so we'll begin reading in Numbers chapter 24, in beginning in verse 13. If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad in my own mind. We ought to pay attention to that today. We ought to pay attention to the words of a false teacher today and not go beyond the Word of God and think that we can improve on it in any way whatsoever. Do anything, either good or bad, of our own mind. We ought to be dreaming up stuff, thinking that we can improve on God's plan and on God's way of worshiping. For what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people, and therefore I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up this parable, and he said, Balaam the son of Beor saith, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of Almighty falling into a trance and having his eyes open. Now, the Spirit of God can even come on a jackass. And here it's come on a false prophet, and he's going to give a true prophecy. I shall see him, but not now. This Christ is coming, and Balaam himself will see him. Every eye will behold him. Even those that pierced him will see him. Balaam will see him someday. I shall see him, but not now. And I shall behold him, but not nigh. It's going to be over 1,500 years before Christ comes. I shall behold him, but not nigh. And there shall come a star when this Christ comes. It's going to have something to do with a star. There's going to be a star involved with him coming. A star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And we studied how a scepter is what a king holds in his hand. So this one who's barned under a star will be a king. He's going to be a king someday. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel and smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. And this here in the Hebrew is the word atonement. And Edom shall be a possession of Seir also and be a possession of his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. And out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. This one that's going to come is going to have dominion again. He's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And he shall destroy him that remaineth of a city. And Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection in 70 AD, came and used the armies of Rome to destroy those people who remained of the city in Jerusalem. Jesus came in destruction at the destruction of Jerusalem. So not only is he going to take care of the wild warriors of Moab, which what that term there means, but he's going to take care of also those people who murdered Christians and the apostles. Now this star prophecy again is carried over in Revelation 22:16. Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And so what these things meant, people could see the planet Venus when the sun comes up of a morning. You can still see the planet Venus, and that's called the morning star. And men had always been mystified of that. So we want to go now to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And let's stop a second and talk about 2 Peter, a great and interesting book I'd encourage you to study. Peter, what would take a man who is such a coward as Peter, who denies the Lord three times, what would take a man like that and turn him into a champion? He's in a jail. He's in a slammer. He says that he's bribed the guards, probably, and he's made arrangements to sneak this letter of 2 Peter out of prison so that the church can have it from now on. He's going to write this letter, and he's writing it to the church, and all Peter has to do is take a little pinch of incense, throw it on the fire, and say, "Caesar's Lord," and he can walk out of there free man. But he won't do it. And he tells us why right here. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Begin right there. Knowing that shortly, tachi is the Hebrew, is a Greek word there, it means quickly. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, my body, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have all these things in remembrance. I'm going to get this letter snuck out of prison where you can always remember these things. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This isn't a humbug. This isn't fables. These aren't just tales of supernatural happenings. Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Speaking of the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 18. Now verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Now I don't know how in the world prophecy could be any more sure than what it was in the Old Testament, but I believe that it must be because Peter says it is. But how could anything be more sure than a dot of every I and a cross of every t being fulfilled? Man, we can believe this, we can trust in this, we can trust that the Lord will save us and that he's coming back for us one of these days soon. For we have a more sure word of prophecy wherein you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He's in a dungeon and he can see the light in a dungeon, a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Keep this gospel in your mind until you wake up, man. Until you wake up someday and you say, hey, this is true, and I've goofed, and I need to come to the Lord, and the day star will arise in your hearts, Christ will arise in your hearts, and Christ will forgive your sins and give you a new chance in life if you'll just do this. If you'll keep this Bible in mind until you see the light, I guarantee you, you'll see it. And when you see it, that day star will rise in your hearts and you'll have an opportunity to live forever with the rest of us. And so there we have the use of star in the Bible. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 3. And so we'll go back to verse 2 to get the context again. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. Now, there were all kinds of signs. Scientists have been trying to figure out what this star was. There's no telling what this star was. But I'm telling you, they were signs in the sky from 6 BC. There were comets. There were triple conjunctions. The planet Jupiter, the planet of kings, as it traveled across the night sky, made a return, and in a thing like that, with Saturn falling right along with it. It was like a solar dance in the sky. That happened in 4 B.C. There were all kinds of signs. Herod the Great died during an eclipse. There were conicals rising in which Jupiter rose as the first star that you could see at night. And that was a conical rising when it did this. There were all kinds of signs in the heavens. We have no idea what these magi saw. They were stargazers. They were scientists who studied astrology. And they were people that were also had been around the Jews. The astrologers, magi, were right down the street from the synagogue in Babylon. They knew about the Jews looking forward to a Messiah. They knew of a star prophecy. They knew of the prophecies of Daniel. They knew that Daniel had counted the time. Any idiot can count the time and see when Christ ought to be born. So these people were watching, and the Jews weren't watching, but they were watching. But Anna and that lady in the temple was watching, wasn't it? Verse 3, and when Herod the king had men who heard these things, he sent forth, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was so mean, when he was troubled, everybody was troubled. He killed his wife, he killed her mother, he killed his brothers, he killed some of his sons. When he killed one of his last sons, Caesar, Augustus, said about Herod, he said it's safer to be his pig than it is to be his son. Because Herod didn't eat pig, he was carrying on like he was a Jew. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. That's verse 4. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets, thou Bethlehem of the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now here we read that from the Septuagint translation, from Greek into English. Now we're going to go back and read it from Hebrew into English in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, who shall be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. God says, I've been promising this Christ from back here from old, from the Garden of Eden. He's been promised from everlasting, from before the foundation of the world. God promised eternal life, according to Titus 1:2. A lot of people know that verse, Micah 5, verse 2, but very few people know the verse in front of it. Look at the verse in front of it. Now gather thyself in troops. When the Christ comes, gather together the army and try to kill him, in other words. O daughter of troops, he has laid siege against us. And they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. No person, all people are born to die, but no person was ever born more destined to die than the Christ. He was destined to die from before the foundation of the world. Christ was destined to die. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when thou hast found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Then they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And so if you'll look with me now to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." When Christ rose at his rising, at his birth, kings are going to come to his rising. Let's look at verse 11 now. Excuse me, let's look at verse 10 and 11. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, we all know what gold is, and they needed gold to get out of Dodge where they could get away from King Herod. And frankincense is from India and Arabia, and it's a clear yellow resin, a perfume and a medicine, and it's used for incense for religious purposes. And myrrh is a spice and used for medicine and cosmetics. So they brought these things, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say that they were three wise men. It just says that they brought three gifts. And so we don't know how many wise men they might have been. They might have been 30, and they might have been two. We don't have any idea. But they brought three different gifts. And so we see those gifts presented in verse 11. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6. "The multitudes of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah, and all they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord." So again, the prophets had prophesied as to what would take place when these wise men came. And verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, the mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And they spread open their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should return, they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." We like for you to drop with me down now to John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. I would like for you to not be mistaken and think that Jesus began at his birth. This is what John is teaching us in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This preface in John carries us back to the account of Genesis in the beginning of all things. The passage declared that at the time before creation, the Word existed. It was with God and separate from Him, but it was God. The Word was God, and the Word was divine. that this word we learn from verse 14 is stated that it became flesh and dwelt among us, among the people, in the person of Jesus Christ. These words are almost too deep for us to understand, but John penned them so that we could understand several things. This passage affirms, number one, that the person afterwards manifest as Christ existed before creation. Christ is not a created being. He is God. He was with God. He was part of God. The very word God in the Old Testament, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, is a plural noun. It gives the idea of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see the Father, the Word, and the Spirit all involved in the first four verses there of Genesis. So this passage affirms, John 1 affirms, that the person afterwards known as Christ existed before the creation, that he was present with God, that he was divine, that he was the Word, and that through him were all things made that were made. Now in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh," was made flesh, "and dwelt among us." That same power that said, "Let there be light," said, "Let Mary be pregnant with the power of the spoken Word of God." And the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she became pregnant with the power of the spoken Word of God. After all we know of God, what sort of young lady would you think that he would choose to be born of? Well, of a virgin, of course. Now, this same God who did all of these things has promised you that he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you can believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you can put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, if you're ready now to repent of your sins, if you're tired of sinning, you want a new chance in life, you want a new start in life, now's your opportunity. You can just march right down to the front down here and confess before men that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can have your sins washed away and be born again to rise to newness of life. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?